In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. Great show today to kick off the week. Our Monday regular, Johnny VTV, going to join me in moments, break down the weekend in college baseball, look at a couple of big time series we got to look forward to. We're also going to talk plenty of college hoops today. It is March conference tournament start today. We're going to be talking about that plenty throughout the week. We'll do some glassology. We will also talk to Lucy Burge as well. I'll give out my top 10 teams in college basketball. We'll talk a little bit about the New York Mets today as we continue our preview of all the teams in Major League Baseball. And then we'll give out some best bets on this Monday. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have, whatever sport it may be, over the next 30 minutes, get involved. You can go to twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports, or you can send your comments to us on Twitter as well. You can search at BetQL app. Let's check in, though, with our guy, Johnny VTV. Glasses in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Johnny Venezia joins me, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. You can follow Johnny on X at @JohnnyVTV. Always good catching up with you, pal, on a Monday. Big weekend of college baseball. We're starting to get a better idea of some of these teams as we get deeper and deeper into the season. A lot of big series, a lot of ranked matchups I saw this weekend. What stood out to you? What team stood out to you this weekend?
Thanks for having me on, PJ. Always a pleasure to be joining you. Let's get right to it, man. I got to say, the Texas A&M Aggies have really surprised me in a positive way. Undefeated on the year, and the offense was never the problem for them, for me, coming into the season. I knew they were going to be able to swing the bat for sure, but it was the pitching. It struggled a little bit last year, got hot in the SEC tournament. But this year they're coming out roaring. They've only allowed 18 runs in 11 games thus far. If their pitching continues to just absolutely shove the way it's been, I think this is a team that we'll be talking about in late June to make the final eight, because, you know, the hitting's there. And as we've seen, teams that might not necessarily look the part on paper with pitching get hot at the right time. And that's ultimately what could carry them to a big run in June. And if A&M has this, with Ryan Prager on the Friday night slot, Tanner Jones on the Saturday slot, and Justin Lampkin on the Sunday slot, PJ, we're going to be looking at Texas A&M that might be one of those teams that we could be seeing win the College World Series.
Man, that SEC just continues to be loaded, all the depth in that conference. So A&M, a team that stood out to you, Johnny. What about on the flip side? Who was the team that disappointed you this weekend?
I think I'd probably have to go with Texas. I'm going to keep it in the state here. 0-3 on the weekend. They blew an 11-3 lead to Vanderbilt yesterday. Losing the game after going 0-2 the first two games. Looks like they're going to salvage the weekend down in Houston. Great tournament. and they end up going winless. This is a team that I really had concerns about coming into the year. On Friday night, LeBaron Johnson versus Luke Holman was the premier pitching matchup. LeBaron did not look sharp. The ball was going everywhere, high pitch count. And the bullpen, again, is a big problem for this team. But furthermore, it's the offense. They're not strong anywhere. If LeBaron Johnson goes out and goes seven scoreless innings, that's pretty much the only way they're going to be able to get a Friday night win, because I've seen him go eight shutout innings against Cal Poly last week, and they only won 2-0. So it's everything's got to go right for the Longhorns in order to win, and I just don't know if I see this team really being able to make some noise come June. Usually they figure it out because they are a great program, but I don't think they're going to be able to weasel their way out of this one. It could be a long year for the Longhorns, and I wouldn't even pick them to win the Big 12.
All right, there you go. Good stuff there about Texas. Johnny, haven't been much odds movement in the national championship futures when looking at college baseball. There has been a little shakeup, though, in the Golden Spikes market for the player of the year in the sport. Talk to me about some of the guys that you might be eyeing in the Golden Spikes market.
So a guy that I talked about preseason was Jace LaViolette. I got him at 75-1. Bet it, tweeted out within 48 hours, 75-1 became 40-1 right before opening day. Now I'm looking on some other markets across different sports books and always shop around. I saw Jace LaViolette this morning at 100-1, which is way further back than where he was to open up the season. It doesn't make sense because he's batting .385 with 6 home runs, 21 RBIs. This is a guy that realistically could hit 30 home runs and steal 20 bases. He's going to be firmly in the mix to be the number one pick next year. Being an underclassman, you already have a huge disadvantage, but for the kind of talent this guy has, the season he could put out with the production and the fact that A&M's probably going to be a field of 64 team, I feel like that's way too long on LaViolette. And another guy who I didn't really take a look at off the board, he's kind of in that same mold of where he was at the beginning of the season. That's Travis Bazzano from Oregon State, sitting at 10-1. Don't really understand why he's not shorter. He's coming out blazing. This is a guy that might be a top three pick. He's being discussed as the number one pick for July. Long way to go. But the one thing he was lacking last year was the power, only had 11 home runs. He's already got 6. So we might see Bazzano flirt with 20 home runs in addition to 30 stolen bases, high batting average, probably over .360. So 10-1 on Bazzano is way, way too long. And one more guy is Charlie Condon from Georgia, 15-1. Great price on a guy that's batting over .600, 7 home runs, the heart and soul of the Georgia lineup. That the Bulldogs, a bit of a surprise team as well, PJ. This is a team that might make the field to 64. Little bit of concerns about their pitching, but if it comes on strong at the right time, this offense can absolutely carry this squad. They came back from a 9-3 deficit against Georgia Tech yesterday to win 11-9.
Wow. All right, so there you go. A lot of guys to look out for in the Golden Spikes market. Johnny giving you a couple of guys. Look ahead to this weekend, Johnny. I see you rocking your Duke shirt. Man, what a series we got to kick off ACC play. Duke against Wake this weekend. Texas, who you mentioned earlier, they're also facing Texas Tech this weekend. So a couple of monster series. I know you're fired up for this Duke-Wake series. How are you betting these series? What should we look out for as we get ready for these over the weekend?
I mean, this Duke-Wake series headlines the entire college slate for the weekend. It's a great heavyweight ACC fight. Two teams that might be in the College World Series this year. I feel like Duke is a team that has made tremendous strides. This is a different series than it was last year. Jonathan Santucci struck out 11 guys in 4 1/3 innings. The walks kind of got away from him. He let up a home run. So his final stat line of 4 1/3 with 4 earned runs and 3 walks did not look good. But let me tell you, bro, this looks like a guy that is absolutely going in the first round in 2024. He's already up to 31 strikeouts to 7 walks across 3 starts. The stuff is disgusting as a lefty. He's getting up to 97, 98 with a slider that's like 82. Changeups mixing in. I feel like the fact is Wake Forest offense took a step back this year, and I'm not believing in them like I did last season. So I feel like Jonathan Santucci and Duke definitely has the edge on Friday against Josh Hartle of Wake Forest, who's another first-round potential. And then Saturday, I'd probably pick Chase Burns and Wake Forest to take down Duke to even the series. But I feel like Sunday, even with Michael Massey going for Wake Forest, I think Duke's going to find a way to pull it out. It's two of, if not the best pitching front to back in the entire nation. And honestly, the way it's going, I think I would give Duke the slight edge on the offensive side of the game. And, you know, a couple pair of 10-1 teams, I feel like the Blue Devils are going to take the series against Wake Forest to put their claim in to win the ACC early.
Can't wait for that one. Duke and Wake this weekend. Also got Texas and Texas Tech. Going to be a lot of good stuff. It's March. College sports at its best. He's Johnny Venezia. You can follow him on X at @_JohnnyVTV, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. Johnny, always appreciate the time, brother. Good luck this weekend. Enjoy the games, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
Thank you so much, sir. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Absolutely. Let's keep it rolling. Send it in. We got a question coming in on Twitch from my guy, Kay Hilmers. Atlantic Sun picks for the tourney starting tonight. Oh, Kay Hilmers, we have reached conference tournament time. Is there anything better than these next 5 weeks of college basketball? Unfortunately, no picks for me tonight. You guys, we got two games in the A-Sun tonight. Kennesaw State, 2.5-point favorites against Jacksonville, the total 148.5. We got Florida Gulf Coast, -3.5 against Queens, the total 154.5 in those games. Kennesaw line did go down from 3.5 to 2.5, so we have seen some movement there. I'm not betting anything. If I were to have a pick, if I have any kind of lean, it would be on Queens College, +3.5. KenPom has this game, probably 2.5 on a neutral. Because it's Florida Gulf Coast, though, obviously that big upset they had years ago against Georgetown, making the Sweet 16 in the NCAA tournament, because they're a brand name. Odds makers know that they can make the line about a point, point and a half larger than what it should be. Public money will still come in on FGCU because they recognize that name. I would lean towards Queens in that game. I'm not betting it, though. We're certainly going to have plenty of bets throughout conference tournament week. We're going to start previewing some of these conference tournaments as well as we wrap up the regular season in some of these leagues. But to answer your question, Kay Hilmers, nothing tonight for me in either of the A-Sun games, but certainly we'll be watching and can't wait to break down some college hoops conference tourneys throughout the week. We're going to talk plenty of conference hoops coming up on the show. Real quick, though, we do have to go to Big League Pete to talk about some MLB futures, and we're looking at the New York Mets today as we wrap up the NL East. We talked about the Braves last week. We talked about the Phillies. Those two teams are the top two teams in the NL East. There's absolutely no dispute. The Mets, you get differing opinions when you talk to different people about the Mets this year. I'm not high on the Mets. Once again, the offseason, they've gotten more bad news about one of their starting pitchers. Last year, it was Verlander. This year, it's Kodai Senga. Looks like he's going to be sidelined. We don't know how much time he's going to miss. He was supposed to be the Mets' number one. Then Quintana is after him as their number two. Sean Manaea, Luis Severino. My problem with the Mets is that it's almost like now that Steve Cohen has become their owner, they just try and throw money at all of their problems because they can afford to do that instead of trying to build their team the right way. They did make some progress when they got rid of Verlander and they got rid of Scherzer at the deadline last year, and they were able to turn those guys over for prospects. They hopefully this can ignite their farm system a little bit. The Mets should use Steve Cohen as an asset to help build on their roster. They should take the blueprint of Baltimore or of Tampa Bay, these other teams that have built their teams the right way through the farm system. And then once you have those prospects, then you use Steve Cohen's bank account and keep those guys in New York for a long time. But obviously, they've tried to throw money at a ton of guys. They threw a ton of money at Francisco Lindor, Verlander, and Scherzer, as I mentioned last year. It didn't work out. They need Lindor to have a big season this year. They need Pete Alonso to be good as well. And they need their two prospects that they are counting on, catcher Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty, their third baseman. They're going to need those guys to be good. But the Mets, it just feels like they have a lot of veterans like Starling Marte, Harrison Bader. What are those guys going to do this year? They could get banged up. They could hit 250, or they could have a really nice year, hit 280, and be good pieces in that order for the Mets. But they need Alonso and Lindor to play like stars. They need their pitching staff. They need Severino. They need Manaea. They need all these guys, Jose Quintana. They need them to be really solid because their closer, Edwin Diaz, is back. if there was one futures bet I would make on a Mets player, it would be Edwin Diaz to lead the league in saves at plus 750. Just because, remember, he missed all of last year with an ACL tear. It wasn't his arm. His arm is fresh. It's ready to go. He's been 2 years and he's waiting to throw a baseball. So they're certainly going to use him, especially if a game's close. I could see Diaz, you know, racking up 45 to 50 saves this season. I think plus 750. If I were to make a bet on any Mets player, it would be Edwin Diaz. But their win total sitting at 81.5. That feels about right. If I had to make a bet, I'd probably take it under. Not big on the Mets this season. Parley 69. Would you rather party with Jason Kelce or Lamar Jackson? Solid question. Now, Lamar's my quarterback. That's my guy. But Jason Kelce, I mean, he's the best. Like, what a great time that looks like. We all saw the videos when he was in Buffalo watching the Chiefs-Bills game. If I were to party with somebody, Parley, it would definitely be Jason Kelce. All right, let's move along to Glassology now, as we're talking about the 10 and 11 seeds today. These are the 10-11 seeds according to Bracket Matrix, who they would have right now on these seed lines if the NCAA tournament started today. We will start with the 10 seed and Nebraska. Nebraska is a team at most, you guys. I think they're winning one game in the NCAA tournament. They're one of those teams, they're awesome at home. They don't lose to anybody at home. They blew out Purdue at home this season. They beat Michigan State, beating everybody at home. They only have one road win, though, in Big Ten play. No chance I can trust a team like that when we get to the tournament. Gonzaga is going to be a team that's going to become very trendy. They won at Rupp Arena against Kentucky about 3 weeks ago, just blew out St. Mary's on Saturday. Zags are starting to play well. Mark Few has made 8 straight Sweet 16s. They're probably going to be an underdog in their second round game if they end up winning their first round game. Who knows? They might even be an underdog in their first round game if they end up getting a 10 seed and they play a really good 7. Gonzaga is going to be a trendy pick, though. They're playing good ball. I will just caution you on this. They're shooting the 3 really, really well right now. We'll see if that's sustainable, but that's led to the Zags turnaround and why they should be in the NCAA tournament, even if they don't end up winning the WCC. Then we got Florida Atlantic as one of the 10 seeds as well. What's baffled me most about FAU this year is they have returned just about everybody except for one player from that Final Four team last year. They were a really good defensive team last year. They're terrible on defense this year. They rank 93rd in defense. Their offense is 18th. They're a great offensive team, but they don't play much defense. You guys know me. I don't like teams that don't play defense in the tournament. So FAU, maybe with the right draw, they can potentially make it to the Sweet 16. We'll see what happens, but not a team I'm investing in long-term. And then the last 10 seed is Virginia. Is there any more boring, uninspiring, unenjoyable team to watch in college basketball than Virginia? They play at the absolute slowest pace in college basketball. There are 362 teams in Division I basketball. Virginia plays at the 362nd fastest pace. They are the slowest. Their defense is good, but it's not even that great. It's just because they play at such a slow pace that they take away possessions. Their offense is terrible outside of Reese Beekman. Everybody's going to fade Virginia if they made the NCAA tournament, and deservingly so. They are not good. The 11 seeds that I'm looking at. We got some interesting 11 seeds here. First one is New Mexico. Been talking about this team a good amount on the show. The Mountain West is obviously having a great year. New Mexico might be the most talented team in the Mountain West, but man, they just cannot rack up enough good quality wins away from home. Their roster, their guards that they have, the transfers that Richard Pitino has brought in. This should be a tournament team, but another big opportunity to get a win on Saturday against Boise State. They come up short. That home loss against Air Force that they suffered a couple Saturdays ago might be what keeps New Mexico out of the NCAA tournament. They're probably going to have to win some games in the Mountain West tournament, but I do like this New Mexico team if they're able to get in. Then we have Seton Hall. Seton Hall's won some big games in the Big East. They beat UConn in the very first game in Big East play. They've beaten Providence. They've beaten Marquette this season. They've beaten some good teams. Their head coach is Shaheen Holloway, who took St. Peter's to the Elite Eight. Seton Hall's got some good guards. They don't really have much size, and they're one of those teams, if they're hitting their shots, they can be dangerous. If they're not, then they're not going to be very good. So Seton Hall, I think, is an 11 seed. Depends on their matchup and just depends how they're shooting that day. Then you have Providence, who I'm totally out on. Not a team I would invest in because they lost their best player earlier in the season in Bryce Hopkins. They've done a great job to remain a bubble team. That loss to Villanova on Saturday, though, was a killer for them. And then lastly is Wake Forest. If Wake gets into the tournament every year it seems like we have one of these teams that gets into the first four in the NCAA tournament that wins a couple games. Wake could be that, could be this year's team to do that. If they do end up making the first four, that could be a team that can maybe pull off some potential upsets. They're pretty solid in the KenPom metrics. They're top 25 in offense, top 50 in defense, have one of the best players that nobody talks about in the country in Hunter Salas. They beat Duke a couple weeks ago. Wake's one of those teams. They shoot a lot of threes. They split the floor with shooters. Their defense is pretty solid. And if they're able to get into the tournament, because right now they're limping to the finish line, if they get in, that's a team that, if the matchup's right, I could see them maybe winning a couple games. All right, let's go off the glass, continue talking some college basketball, look at my top 10 teams in the country. We're getting some questions, though, from the chat. Brian wants to know, potential 5-12 upset this year. A lot of five seeds, guys, that I think could be great upset potential. When we're talking Wisconsin, when we're talking South Carolina, if Bama keeps dropping games and they drop to a five seed, I think this is going to be a big year for 5-12, maybe even 4-13 upsets. So absolutely, I would look at that. Moist Cupcakes picks Wisconsin five seed getting beat. I mean, we're seeing eye to eye. Wisconsin, absolutely. That is a team that I am looking forward to fading, especially if they go up against an elite offensive team. If Wisconsin plays like a Samford, if they play like a Grand Canyon in the 5-12 game, I'm going to bet a good amount on those mid-major teams. As for the top 10 teams in college basketball, UConn's been number one forever, and they're going to continue being number one. They're the defending champs. They're the best team in college hoops. Looked so dominant yesterday against Seton Hall. Their offense is clicking. Their defense is really good. UConn, the best team in college basketball. Here's where it gets interesting, though. For me, the number two team in college basketball is the Tennessee Volunteers. That doesn't mean I necessarily think they're going to the Final Four. That doesn't mean that after UConn, they would be my next pick to win the national championship. What that means is what I'm watching, the second best team in the country outside of UConn is Tennessee. Their defense under Rick Barnes is always elite, and it's great yet again this year. But that offense with Dalton Knecht, they have beaten Bama and Kentucky this year in Kentucky and in Bama. They can beat teams that can score. They can beat teams that want to grind it out and want to play defensive games in the 50s and 60s. To me, that's what makes Tennessee different this year. They can win game in the 90s and they can win the games in the 60s. That's why they're two, and that's why Houston is three for me. Now, Houston, if you like Houston long term, I think Saturday's result against Oklahoma was an encouraging one because they won that game 87-85. That's always been my only question mark with Houston. If a team is able to score on them, can they win a game in the 80s? I don't have that question about Tennessee. I think Tennessee can do that. Oh, we'll see if Houston can do that come tournament time, but that was a good result against Oklahoma to see that they can win a shootout kind of game. Purdue is my number four team. Look, there's going to come a game in the NCAA tournament when Zach Edey picks up two fouls, or there's going to come a game when the referees are getting a lot of contact. They're going to let a lot of contact go. Purdue's not going to get the whistle that they're accustomed to. They're going to need their guards to step up. Are Purdue guards, are Fletcher Lawyer, Braden Smith going to be able to do that? I'm not convinced. Plus, it's March Madness, Matt Painter. So Purdue is my number four. Arizona is going to be my number five. Don't know if there is a more important player outside of a superstar on their team than Kylan Boswell. If Caleb Love is Batman and Kylan Boswell is Robin, I don't know if there's a more important Robin in the country than Boswell. When he's playing well, Arizona is a different team, right? Much like when UConn made their run and you had Kemba Walker, but you also had Jeremy Lamb. Every good team needs that sidekick. If Arizona wants to go deep, they need Boswell to play well. He was awesome on Saturday. That's why they scored 100 points and blew out Oregon. But Arizona is my number five team. Duke is my number six team. They're getting hot at the right time. We talk about teams that can win the national championship. Top 20 offense, top 20 in defense, according to KenPom. We have six of those teams right now. Duke is one of them. They're my number six team. Then we got UNC at 18-1 to win the national title. They're my number 17. When North Carolina turns it on defensively, they're really, really good. Their offense has started to sputter a little bit, but when they defend at a high level, they're a dangerous team. Creighton is going to be my number eight team. They're 30-1 to win the national championship. Creighton's starting five is as good as anybody. When they're knocking down shots, they're really dangerous. When Creighton plays a game, though, in the tournament, when they're not hitting their threes, can they win a game on the defensive end? We'll see what happens, but right now they're my number eight team. Kentucky is going to be my number nine team. I think Kentucky's going to have an early exit in the tournament just because of how bad they are defensively. But, man, do they have talent, and, man, are they fun to watch. They're my number 9 team. And then Auburn is my number 10 team. Kentucky beat them head-to-head. The metrics love Auburn. Really, really good defensive team. Their offense at times tend to disappear, though, so I'll put Auburn at number 10. Once again, my top 10, UConn, Tennessee, Houston, Purdue, Arizona, Duke, UNC, Creighton, Kentucky, and Auburn, my top 10 teams in college basketball. Let's go to Model Making Money. Check in with Lucy Burge, who is standing by here on a Monday. Lucy, what are the 5-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Yes, hello, PJ. Happy Monday. 2 5-star plays today from the BetQL model. The first one is in the NBA. It is Thunder Lakers over 238.5. The Lakers have hit the over in their last 2 games, and the Thunder have hit the over in 4 of their last 6 games on the road and in 4 of their last 7 games overall. And at home, the Lakers have hit the over in 3 of their last 5 games. So the BetQL model loves this as a 5-star play tonight. And then the NHL, Kraken Flames under 6 goals. The Kraken have hit the under in their last 2 games, in 7 of their last 10 and their last 6 games on the road. They have scored only 2 goals in 3 of their last 4 games, and the Flames have allowed only 2 goals in 2 of their last 3 games at home. So the BetQL model loves this as a 5-star play as well. The under 6 goals for Kraken Flames, 2 total bets for 5-star plays today.
Very nice, Lucy. So that's what the BetQL model likes for tonight. What does Lucy Burge like for tonight on this Monday slate?
Yeah, so I have 2 bets, and I do hope that I see eye to eye with Moist Cupcakes, because that is my goal whenever I place my bets, because Moist Cupcakes knows what they are doing. Avalanche to win by 4 goals against the Blackhawks, plus 525 at BetMGM. This is my long shot pick of the day for BetQL.com long shot article picks. The Avalanche just beat the Blackhawks 5-0. 2 games ago, and 3 of Colorado's last 7 wins have come by 4 goals. They are putting up a lot of goals, and 3 of their last 5 wins at home have come by 4 goals. The Blackhawks have lost their last 6 games and their last 20 games on the road. 20 games on the road, while the Avalanche have won 4 of their last 7 games. So I see the Avalanche winning this game, taking down the Blackhawks by this margin, 4 goals plus 525 at BetMGM. I also, in the NBA, I like the Bucks minus 5.5 against the Clippers. The Bucks have been on a roll. They are figuring it out. If you're a little stutter step there, but they have covered their last 5 spreads and won their last 5 games. Meanwhile, the Clippers have failed to cover 4 of their last 6 spreads, and on the road, they have failed to cover 2 of their last 3. And at home, the Bucks have covered 4 of their last 6. A lot of things pointing in the direction of Bucks minus 5.5. This will be the second game of a back-to-back for the Clippers. The Bucks have a rest advantage here, so I like the Bucks to cover here minus 5.5.
All right, very nice. Lucy, speaking of the NBA, man, did your Celtics look good last night. They beat the Warriors by 50. I think they're still scoring
covered,
points,
right?
On the Warriors. Just barely. If you had the Warriors plus 54.5, I still think you're good. But yeah, the Celtics, I think, did cover that game. Scale from 1 to 10, Lucy, right now, because I know the Celtics have gotten your hopes up in the past, have let you down. Man, do they look good. They've won 11 straight. Scale to 1 to 10, how confident are you this is the year that the Celtics are bringing home the title?
Yeah, I know last time you asked me this, I said 6 out of 10 and that wouldn't change until the playoffs. But no, It's a 10 now. I am now all in. The vibes have changed. I'm just going to change it. The vibes have changed completely. I am at a 10. Because if they are, as I said on Back to the Futures last night, right here on the BetQL network, they are championship or bust. And I think if they are going to do one of those, it will be championship. So I think they will win the championship, and my confidence level in this team, which is complete, this team, which is clicking, this team, which is firing on all cylinders, 10 out of 10 confidence, they will win the championship this year.
All right, there you go. Lucy, they're looking really good. They're looking really good, especially Porzingis can come back too and stays healthy and contributes. Boston's going to be dangerous. Lucy Burge joining me each and every Monday here on Send It In. Lucy, great stuff. Good luck on your bets, and we'll talk again later in the week.
Thank you, PJ. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1 to 5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis from spreads and over-unders to player props. Stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. And once a day, you can play the BetMGM free-to-play BetMGM Fast Break for a chance to win daily prizes. You can play as the point guard and choose to pass to Kevin Garnett. pass to Jalen Rose, or take it in yourself for a dunk. If you score, you get a prize. Free-to-play promotion for BetMGM Sportsbook. BetMGM Sportsbook account holders who play our BetMGM Fast Break will have the opportunity to win a reward if they score a basket. Time to wrap up the show. PJ's plays on Send It In. Going to be honest with you guys, don't really like my dog of the day all that much, but man, do I like my prop lock today. John Collins going up against the Wizards is just a beautiful matchup for us. The fact that his rebound total is only at 10.5, quite frankly, is an absolute gift. John Collins has grabbed 10 or more boards in 5 of his last 6 games. He's going up against the Wizards, who are one of the worst rebounding teams, especially against big men. Every big man eats when they play against the Wizards on the boards. Love John Collins, over 10.5 rebounds as my prop lock. My stay away game is going to be in the Big 12 tonight between Baylor and Texas. Baylor's coming off that big win against Kansas at home. They're playing a Texas team who, with a win tonight against Baylor, will absolutely be a lock in the NCAA tournament. And Baylor just plays everybody close. This could be one of those classic Big 12 games that goes to overtime. Texas is hanging around. I'm staying away from Baylor and Texas. My dog of the day is going to be the Grizzlies, +9.5 against the Nets, because the Nets should never be favored by 9.5 against anybody. And my best bet, I'm going to double down on my prop lock. John Collins, over 10.5 rebounds against the Wizards. That's how much I like that play. To recap once again, John Collins is my prop lock. And my best bet, Baylor, Texas is my stay away game. And then give me the Grizzlies +9.5 against the Nets. Thanks again to Johnny VTV for joining me, Lucy Burge as well. More college basketball talk tomorrow. Also a Teed Up Tuesday. Got the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week, so some golf talk. We'll also continue previewing teams in Major League Baseball. I'm going to be on You Better You Bet today with Ken Barkley. Make sure you check that out, 3 p.m. Eastern time right here on the BetQL Network. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day. See you tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern time.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.